medical doctors in spiritual lifestyle and practices. He has developed a full-fledged curriculum in spiritual care and nursing based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada for undergraduate and postgraduate nursing students, and implemented it in the Bhaktivedanta Institute of Nursing Education from 2005. He extensively has delivered spiritual discourse on Bhagavad Gita on various television channels like Star TV, Ashta, ETC, Colors, etc. He has also delivered professional and spiritual discourses to medical professionals in the UK and the US. So Hare Krishna, welcome to the call, Prabhuji.
Wow, what an introduction. Very inspiring. You got details. Great details. I'm very happy. Thank you so much. So, should we start now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Right time to start?
Yeah.
I would like to see people who I'm addressing. It'll be nice to see them and address. Yeah. Some of them at least should be there who are in front line. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नमो नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So it's a great honor and pleasure to be with all of you. I suppose in North Carolina, am I right? Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, good. You have okay, very nice. Good. I thought I have to read from this only. Anyways, so I will just recite and I don't expect you to repeat after me. Yashat sapatnan vijigishamano griheshu nirvishya yateta purvam atyeti durga shrita urjitarin kshineshu kamam vichare dipaschit. Please go ahead. Ya, anyone who sat six saptanan adversaries viligi shmanaha, desiring to conquer, then where is that griheshu, in household life, nirvishya, having entered, yateta, must try, purvam, first, atyeti, conquers, durga ashritaha, being a fortified place, urjita arin, very strong enemies, kshaneshu, decreased, kamam, lusty desires, vicharet, can go, vipaschit, the most experienced and learned. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is situated in household life, and who systematically conquers his mind and five senses, is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. Purport. The Vedic system of four varnas and four ashramas is very scientific, and its entire purpose is to enable one to control the senses. Before entering household life, grahastha ashram, a student is fully trained to become Jitendriya, the conqueror of the senses. Such a mature student is allowed to become a householder And because he was first trained in conquering his senses, he retires from household life and becomes Vanaprastha as soon as the strong waves of youthful life are past, and he reaches the verge of old age at 50 years or slightly more. Then after being further trained, he accepts sannyas. He is then a fully learned and a renounced person who can move anywhere and everywhere without the fear of being captivated by material desires. The senses are considered very powerful enemies. As a king in a strong fortress can conquer powerful enemies, so a householder in a grihastha ashram, household life, can conquer the lusty desires of youth and be very secure when he takes vanaprastha and sannyas. So we can now remove the screen share. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, the very glorious scripture that has been awarded to us. And in this chapter, 5.1, we are reading the glories of King Priyavrata, who is the brother of Uttanapad, who is the son of Swayambhuva Manu. And while King Uttanapad is ruling the world, Priyavrat is performing his penance and austerities and devotional service, meditating fully in an absorbed condition on a mountain in a secluded place. And then he is requested by his father Swayambhuva Manu to give up that seclusion of Ekant Bhajan and come down and rule the kingdom, accept wives, accept opulence, accept authorities, and rule the world in a very religious way to help the people to attain the goal of their life. And interestingly, King Parikshit is asking question to Shukadev, and Shukadev Maharaj is answering the question. And initially, when Swayambhuva Manu is requesting his son to come down, he did not welcome the instruction. He thought that if I come down in the material world, in the opulent situation of temptations, then I may get diverted from my goal of attaining the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he did not welcome it. But then Lord Brahma, the first citizen of the universe, the supreme being in this universe, came down with all his glories and descended where King Priyavrat, not king now, but he is Priyavrat, who was performing his penances. And Narad Muni came there, Swayambhuva Manu was already there, all the demigods came there, all the rishis came there, everybody came and actually welcomed Brahma and gave him the due respect and worship. And then Brahma further came down to meet Priyavrat directly. And here, he is speaking to King Priyavrat about the duties of human being. He said the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a supreme controller, and he is autocrat in the sense that his order cannot be denied by anybody. By the power of yoga, power of austerities, power of knowledge, power of renunciation, power of karmakanda, or any other ritualistic process, no prowess can allow one or can give the liberty to one to disobey the order of the Lord, the desire of the Lord. So one is obliged to follow the instruction of the Lord. And the instruction of the Lord is right now to give up your seclusion and come down. When I was reading this, I was remembering a story in Treta Yuga, a very similar story, that in the spiritual world of Ayodhya, Vasishtha Muni is residing, and Lord Brahma is telling Vasishtha Muni that please go down because Swayambhuva Manu is already become king of Ayodhya. So you have to go down as guru in the material world to become the priest Rajguru. And what is Vasishtha Muni saying? He said, I don't want to go to the material world. The goal of my life is to attain you, my Lord. That means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I feel fear in my heart that if I go down, I will get entangled in the three modes of material nature and I will get tempted to enjoy sense gratification. I will get diverted. And then Brahma tells a very beautiful answer to Vasishtha Muni. He says that, what if while doing your service only you attain the Lord? Oh wow, that's wonderful. I didn't know that when I do my service as Purohit, as a priest of the king, I will get to attain the Supreme Lord. So what did Brahma say? You will not only get to see Him. Because when you do tapasya, austerities, Lord appears to you for some time and then disappears. But your service as a priest to the king will not only allow you to see the Lord, but the Lord will be with you thousands of years. The Lord will appear in front of you as the son of Kausalya and Dasharatha Maharaj. The Lord will give Vedanti Darshan. It's a very interesting. Vedanti means Vedanti. Danti means teeth. That means the Lord will give you Darshan without teeth in His mouth. You will be the one who will do Lord's Jati Samskara. That means the samskara that we do at birth. You will be the one who will teach the Lord to write. That is called Hate Kadhi Samskar. That means Akshar Parichay Samskar. That means knowledge of the first syllable, Om, and then further all syllables. You will teach the Lord through this ceremony of Samskar to write, and to you will teach the Lord the spiritual knowledge also. And then in front of you, Lord will get married with Sita and you will be the priest in that wedding. You will perform the wedding of the Lord. And then Lord will rule the kingdom for 11,000 long years and you will be the guru of the Lord. That means you will not just attain the Lord. You will be with the Lord even in the material world for a long time. So Vasishtha Muni agreed. And then Vasishtha Muni went down. And then because of Vasishtha Muni and Shraddha Deva Manu, their austerities and prayers, Ayodhya Dham descended on earth. Then Sri Ranganath Bhagavan descended on earth. And a very beautiful thing. So the point I was trying to convey that it is not that when we come down to the material world, we have to fall down. What will protect us from falling down in the material world is engagement in service to the Lord, in engagement in our duties to the Lord, keeping the Lord in the center, the goal of the life in the center. So here Priyavrat Maharaj is being preached by Brahma. Same thing, that don't think that you will be distracted or you will be diverted from the goal of your life. Your duty as a king will be in the responsibility of Supreme Lord only, because as a king you will be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a father to all the kinsmen. And you will do the duty of a father to the children as a king to the kinsmen. And you are ruling, your administration, your authority is only to help people to become God conscious, not just to enjoy sense gratification. You will be receiving wives, and you will receive many children. Lot of wealth, lot of authority, lot of power and influence. You will be very powerful and unconquerable king by your prowess. But because all that you will be doing for the purpose of serving and pleasing the Lord, you will be saved from getting entangled in any sense gratificatory activities. And this is very wonderful. And then he goes on explaining about Grihastha Ashram, and many verses are there. Very beautiful purports Prabhupada has given. So, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashaha. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna in Gita that this particular system of Varna Ashram is, I have created it. It is my creation. And it is not based on birth. It is based on activities. And each and every ashram, whether it be Brahmachari Ashram or Grihastha Ashram or Vanaprastha or Sannyasi, each ashram is ultimately designed to make the soul reach the Lord, to make the soul control his wild senses and engage them in service to the Lord. That is the purpose of Brahmachari Ashram. As a celibate person, he is supposed to engage himself in service to the Lord. As a grahastha, one who accepts wives and has children and has wealth and control over certain land or certain property, he is also supposed to engage his senses. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Uttama. Vanaprastha, same thing. Sannyas, same thing. So essentially, it is very heartening to know that the goal of each ashram is same. The goal of Brahmachari is not different than the goal of Grahastha Ashram. And the same way, Sannyasi Ashram goal is not different than the Grahastha Ashram. So, we Grahasthas are not supposed to feel condemned, neither we are supposed to feel proud, or neither Sannyasi is supposed to feel condemned or proud. Because each of them have differential activities as per their propensity and inclination, but they are choosing those differential activities only for attaining the same goal in life. The sannyasi wants to attain the Lord as his master finally and surrender to him, and a grahastha also is supposed to surrender to the Lord and accept Lord Krishna as his master. Only thing is, because various people have various karmas, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, and even Brahmaji explains that as per our previous deeds, we have so many karmical connections, which is very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand the reactions that we receive, the results that we receive as a result of our karma. So one cannot avoid that. And each and every individual has different sets of past karmas, which are not similar. That's why we look different. We are born in different places, we speak different language, we do different activities, we have different propensities, we speak different languages. All is because of our different sets of karma. But that does not matter. We have to understand that whatever set of past karmas we bring in, and whatever activities we do, whether we are males or females, whether we are brahmacharis or grahasthas or sannyasis, we have one goal of life. That is to attain unalloyed, uninterrupted service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we have a beautiful example of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Before that, we go into that details. We would like to say that Grahastha Ashram is the only ashram where earning is done. Brahmachari is not supposed to earn. A vanaprastha is not supposed to earn, and a sannyasi is not supposed to earn. Only grahastha is supposed to earn, and only grahastha has women and children and property and graha kshetra suta apta vittai. A grahastha has house and he has children, he has wealth, he has relatives, graha kshetra, he has land, he has business, and he earns money, and he is supposed to maintain all the other three ashramas. So it's not a burden, it's a privilege that we are supposed to earn money, maintain our families in Krishna consciousness, and also to maintain the renounced order of life, which is Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi, and also maintain their services which are connected to the temple of the Lord. And now we see the example of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It is explained that when you become grahastha and when you become God conscious, doesn't mean that you have to become poor or have to remain poor. Our Yudhishthir Maharaj, the Pandavas, Ambarish Maharaj and Bharat Maharaj, and now we talk about Priyavrat, and before we talk about Uttanapad, everybody was fabulously rich. Amazingly rich. They were Chakravarti Samrat. They were the kings of the whole universe. They had all the power, all the wealth, which you cannot imagine. And none of the kings of the earth or some country can imagine to have that kind of sovereign control over the land and over the lokas, planets. So Pandavas also, they had fabulous wealth. But their heart was focused on Krishna. They appeared to be very wealthy, very opulent and enjoying the wealth and kingdom. But the proof of their heart being centered only on Krishna, attached to only Krishna and focused only on Krishna, what is the proof? When Krishna left this world, they immediately dropped all the authority, all the wealth, all the power, all the control and just went towards the north side, north direction. That means that proved that they were only attached to Krishna, not to the wealth. When Krishna left the world, they felt the world vacant. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. And that wealth appeared to be a pebble or pebbles or a useless thing. Loshtravat, that means insignificant to them. That's why they could leave it. And the proof that they left all the wealth and authority is that they were fully focused on Krishna. That is the proof of that. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod also was a very highly educated judge by studying law. He was a district magistrate. He was the judge of the legal court. He was so expert that 16 hours work he would do in 4 hours by his intelligence, by his fine intelligence. And you know, we should know that in British times, the British people never allowed any people from the controlled country to rise to any higher level. Even today, if you go to UK and other European countries, the Eastern countries cannot rise to the highest positions in their hierarchy. They will stop you at a secondary level and they will always be over the Asians. That is their mindset. And when they were ruling India, they would not allow anybody to attain any authority positions. They will always remain, put them into the secondary positions or executive positions. But Thakur Bhaktivinoda was the only personality whom they allowed to become a judge, a district magistrate. And they honored him so much. When he wanted to retire at an early age to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, he said, "I want to retire." So they inquired, "Where do you want to go and spend your rest of the life?" He said, "I want to go to Navadvip." And he had a house in Godruma. So they said, "Okay, we'll give you transfer to the court which is very near Godruma. That is Krishnanagar." And they said, "To save your time, we will establish a railway line from the court directly at the door of your house." In the history of, I think, India, even when India is ruling or when others were ruling, nobody has received such an honor that there is a railway line right from your gate of the home to the gate of your office, and you remain only one passenger for one compartment of the train, only the motorman and 2-5 guards are guarding you, and only one passenger goes in the morning and comes back in the evening, and the train doesn't function otherwise in the daytime. It's only meant for one person. We have heard of having a Mercedes or a big car for a big man like President of America, but we haven't heard a train dedicated to any one person, and that kind of honor they gave. So you can imagine how successful, appreciably successful, Thakur Bhakti Vinod was. And at the same time, he was an ardent devotee of Krishna. He slept only 3 hours a day. And he wrote so many beautiful poems expressing his heartfelt devotion for Krishna. He writes, "When I come home from my court, I see my wife and my family members worshipping the Lord in the temple of the house, which is in the central position of the house. I feel I am entering Goloka Vrindavan. Grihete Goloka Bhai." I feel my house is Goloka Vrindavan. So that was his household life. His wife, they had almost 13 children. 6 of them turned into sannyasis. One of them was Ray of Vishnu Thakur Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati. You can see, while being successful professional, that too in the eyes of British, he was an ardent, elevated, pure devotee of the Lord. And he created children, 6 of them to become sannyasis, and one of them was like a lion guru, who was the guru of our Prabhupada, who guided him. You can imagine. So that doesn't mean that we have to be scared. We have to understand that we have example of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. We have example of King Priyavrat. We have example of Pandavas, who are all grahasthas. But they made such difference in the world. Sri Krishna actually maneuvered the whole Mahabharata just to make Pandavas the kings, because they would make difference to the world, because they were God conscious. So in Grihastha Ashram it is explained that we can accept wife, we can have children, we can amass wealth, we can have properties, but every single thing in Grihastha Ashram is supposed to be used in service to Krishna. A Grihastha can have a store of money also, but even the store of money should be planned to engage, to get engaged in service to Krishna. And that will also save us from the negative influence of stored money. In the story of Parikshit, we understand that stored wealth, which is beyond our need, becomes the cause of fight and hypocrisy, which is the effect of Kali. Kali went and resided in the place where wealth was stored more than necessity, more than the needs. Where the wealth is stored, in that place Kali goes and resides. But if we have a plan to use the stored wealth also in service to the Lord, the Kali does not affect that wealth. So there's the point I'm trying to drive here is that there's no harm in having a lot of wealth, but there has to be a perfect plan to use that wealth in service to the Lord. Even raising children and maintaining wife in Krishna consciousness is a bona fide use of our wealth. When we feed our wife and our children Krishna prasad and give them samskar, and we have a temple in the house and we do worship, that requires money. We need money to build the temple in the house, nice carving, nice deities, that requires money. Bhoga needs money, flowers need money, to maintain the house we need money. So all that comes under Krishna consciousness, and when money is spent in doing this activity of keeping Krishna in the center of the house and serving Krishna and considering ourselves to be servant of Krishna, not the master of the house. The name legally is ours of the house, but we in our consciousness take Krishna as the master and we remain in the house as servant. What Thakur Bhaktivinoda writes that Sarvasva Tomar Charane Sampiya Podechi Tomar Dhare. Sarvasva Tomar Charane Sampiya Podechi Tomar Ghore. Tumi To Thakur Tomar Kukur Janiya Boliya More. And then further he says, first he says that I am staying in your house. I am staying in your house, not in my house. That is the beginning statement. I have offered everything. Sarvasva Tomar Charane Sampiya Podechi Tomar Ghare. Not Podechi Amar Ghare. In the beginning only he makes statement. I am staying in your house. The house is yours, my Lord. Tumi to Thakur Tomar Kukur. I am like a dog in your house. I stay as a servant in your house. Further he says that whenever you will call, I will come wagging my tail. Whatever you give me and throw me, I will eat as your remnant. And I will keep myself very happy and feel satisfied. And I will feel privileged to stay like a dog in your house. Now this is the mood. What does it mean? That I will only eat your remnants, your prasad. I will only work for you. I will only work to serve you as a master of my house. I will worship you. Use all my wealth to worship you. Train my family to worship you. Create an atmosphere of Goloka in my house. And whatever wealth is required, I'll use for this purpose. I don't work to amass money for my sense gratification. I work to get money to serve you and to preach your message to all over the people in the world. And that's what Thakur Bhaktivinoda did. His wife Bhagavati also was equally qualified. She gave birth to so many children. She raised them so meticulously, so nicely in Krishna consciousness. And the whole household was such a powerful thing. He also curbed the upstart like Bishikishen, who was misleading people. He used his authority and power to save people from getting misled by Bishikishen, the mystic, say, mystic personality in Godruma. So the point I'm trying to drive here is, as our consciousness, we will get the result in life. If our consciousness is to enjoy, then we will suffer the effects of our actions under the modes of three material modes of nature. If our purpose is to serve the Lord, then the three modes of material are there. Material life is there, but they will not affect us. Even as a grihastha, keeping wife and children and wealth, the three modes of material nature can be kept away by the dint of our activities and by the dint of our pure consciousness. That's why every grihastha, like King Ambarish, like King Uttanapad, now Priyavrat, has to have a spiritual master. So that the spiritual master will give shelter to the person and give him guidance how to use his wealth, power, authority, how to perform his duties in perfect consciousness. And then Prabhupada says, he has said many occasions in conversations and his scriptures, that a perfectly following a person who is perfectly following the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma, and if he is Brahmachari or if he is Grihastha or Sannyasi, they are all equal in the eyes of the Lord. If a Grihastha who keeps wife and children and wealth follows the rules and regulations of spiritual life perfectly and engages his senses in serving the Lord, then he is not different or anyway not lower than my Sannyasis. So he has already given us so much hope and encouragement. And that's a fact. It's not just face value appreciation to encourage grihasthas. It's a fact. When a grihastha raises children in Krishna consciousness and delivers them back to Godhead, he is as good as sannyasi. Because what sannyasi is doing, he's just not having children and wife, but he is delivering people back to Godhead. What is Brahmachari doing? He's studying scriptures and serving Guru Maharaj and finally preaching innocent people to get inspired to go back to Godhead. And if a grihastha keeps wife and children and wealth and inspires people to go back to Godhead by giving them inspiration by his example, what is the difference? There is no difference. And in Kali Yuga now we see, it is also explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one of the most forbidden thing in Kali Yuga is to take sannyas. Of course, Prabhupada gives sannyas to many people by his potency, but general rule is, it is better not to take sannyas. Better to get married, remain in grihastha ashram and practice Krishna consciousness. So majority of the world is in grihastha ashram. If majority of the world are in hopeless condition, then what is the salvation for the whole world? But it is not so. We grihasthas are given lot of inspiration, lot of guidance and lot of hope to remain blissful in Krishna consciousness as much as a sannyasi. There is something called as a terminology called as grihastha sannyasi. The grihastha sannyasi is that person who follows all the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness while remaining in grihastha ashram. He is not there to look at his wife as the object of his sense gratification. He does not look at his children as object of his sense gratification. He does not look at his wealth as object of his sense gratification, the source of his sense gratification. He only sees all these things as instruments to be used in service to the Lord. And that is very heartening and welcoming and very encouraging. Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor arpilun tuva pade nanda kishor. That is a grihastha. Manasa means mind, geho means body, and geho means home, which includes property and everything. Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor, whatever is mine, whatever I think belongs to me, oh my Lord, arpilun tuva pade, oh nanda kishor, Lord Krishna, I am offering everything that I think I owe, I own, or it belongs to me. All those things, my Lord, I am offering to you. And I want to remain your servant, my Lord. In such a consciousness, one can be filthy rich, but still he will not get afflicted by any temptations of Maya. Because this is called as Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means what? Yukta Vairagya means you have everything in the world, all possible things that you can possess. High position, authority, influence, money, beauty, knowledge, property, everything you can own. But when those things are utilized to serve the Lord and to please the Lord, then that is called Yukta Vairagya. One is that, no, I don't touch wealth. And one is that, give me a lot of wealth. Prabhupada was that kind of Yukta Vairagi. He would say, I am not like those Mayavati sannyasis who don't touch any rupee or any currency note. any bill. If you give me 100 rupees, I will ask you, when are you giving next 100 rupees? If you give me 100,000 rupees, I will ask you, when are you giving me next 100,000 rupees? Because when I take 10 rupees or 100 rupees or 100,000 rupees, I know each and every rupee I am going to utilize in service to Krishna. So I have no hesitation or no embarrassment in asking. Because each and everything what I receive is going to be utilized 100% in service to the Lord. So what is the fear? There is a fear only when I want to ask for myself. Half of the money I want to stitch my kurta and my good spectacles maybe. Then there is a guilt. But when you are sure that every single rupee is utilized in service to the Lord, there is no guilt. This reminds me of beautiful statements in Mahabharata and Ramayana. Again, Vasishtha Muni. You all know that Vasishtha Muni was a priest of Dasharath Maharaj, of Lord Ramchandra. And as the priest of Lord Ramchandra and his father and his ancestors, right from Shraddha Deva Manu, from the beginning of creation, from the first Satya Yuga, he lived for many, many yugas. And he was a priest for all Raghu Vamsha, that is Surya Vamsha, where Lord Ramchandra appeared. And he did so many fire sacrifices for King Raghu, for Dasharath, for Lord Ramchandra. And you know, I'm also a priest. I'm also a trained Vaishnava Purohit, you know. I conduct my weddings and I conduct many samskaras. And if the person is very rich, he gives me a big dakshina or big donation for performing the ritual. And if somebody is a poor man, a middle class man, and he gives a small amount. But, so you can imagine if he is performing a sacrifice or a wedding ceremony for Lord Ramchandra, for Dasharath Maharaj, then what kind of dakshina and donation he must have received, Guru Dakshina, or Yajna Dakshina, Brahman Dakshina. You know, gold plates, land, millions of cows would be donated to Brahmins for performing such kind of rituals. But do you see that after performing the wedding yajna for Lord Ramchandra, Vasishtha Muni moved into a palace because of dakshina that he received? No. You receive the information all the time that Vasishtha Muni always lived in a small hermitage with one or two cows and small piece of land, cultivating sabji, vegetables, and only making ghee out of the milk of the cow and doing his sacrifices every day, puja every day. But you never see him that he moved after this yajna into a bigger house, and next yajna he again moved into a bigger house than that house. No. Why? Where did all the wealth go? There's so much of gold and plates and ornaments and so many cows and so much of wealth that was given to them as donation. Where did it all go? It is explained that the Brahmana keeps only what is needed for his maintenance, and rest everything he donates on the same day he receives it. So Vasishtha Muni, although he received fabulous amount of wealth every single time that he did samskar for King Dasharath or for Lord Ram, but instantly he donated everything. Because a Brahmana Grahastha is supposed to keep only thing what is required for maintaining body and soul together. We may keep little more than that and keep a store or balance as per Rupa Goswami's guidance. But if the purpose in the mind, if it is clear, it is not meant for sense gratification. So the same instruction has been told to me and to us who are Brahmana priests for various Vedic ceremonies, that if you have enough or a sufficient source of money by your profession and you are not dependent on these donations received by you as performing the rituals or yajnas, then donate every single rupee of the donation to serve the humanity and serve the Lord. So fortunately, all our money that we receive as a priest, Brahmana priest, every single rupee goes in service to humanity and service to the Lord, or to some Brijbasis for education or food or many of the difficult situations. So I feel such a fortunate condition, because the purpose of life is extremely clear, made by Guru Maharaj to all the disciples, that we are not here to amass wealth and enjoy the wealth and get entangled in the effects of the wealth. Because the effect of wealth is fights and hypocrisy. And finally, pride. If not used in service to Lord, if not planned to be used in service to Lord. So right from beginning when we were poor people, or when we get some wealth and become rich further and become very rich afterwards, right from beginning when we did have small wealth, then we have more wealth, and now we are fabulously wealthy. In all the conditions, we grihastha should know that our wealth has to be used in service to God. Whether we have $100 or $1,000 or millions of dollars, all the dollars have to be used in service to the Lord. In that case, the grihastha can be blissful, the grihastha can be effulgent, the grihastha can be very powerful spiritually, grihastha can influence people, the grihastha can change the lives of people for good, and grihastha can transform their hearts into Krishna conscious hearts. All these miracles that sannyasis do, even the grihasthas can do, provided their life is dedicated at the feet of the Lord. And in that sense, grihastha life is not different from sannyasi life and not different from brahmachari life. So that is the greatest fortune, that clear understanding Srila Prabhupada gave. He himself was a grihastha. He had many children. He raised many children. He also had one of his child as a crippled child or a challenged child also he had on wheelchair. He also raised that child. He was preaching all throughout when he was a grihastha. He would make money and he would have lectures of spiritual life on the first floor of his house. He was traveling up and down Bombay and Ahmedabad and Kolkata all the time, making money and conducting Krishna conscious programs, preaching grihastha community regularly. He was coming back to Kolkata only to preach and have satsang on weekends on his first floor. And at opportune time he took sannyas. He did his duties, he fulfilled all his duties. He came to a situation when his ashram, his family members did not need him anymore to maintain themselves. At that time he left. He didn't leave prematurely also. And then as a trained grihastha, he became a very expert sannyasi, very successful sannyasi, and he changed the consciousness of the whole world almost. Why? Because he was a perfect grihastha. That's why when he transited from his grihastha ashram to sannyas ashram, he was a perfect sannyasi also. And he knew the pains and the challenges and the difficulties faced by grihastha. So he was very kind to grihasthas also. Sometimes brahmacharis turn to grihastha sannyasis. They fail to understand the intricacies and difficulties and challenges faced by grihasthas. But because he was a householder for many, many years, turned into sannyasi, he could empathize with all the grihasthas. He could give them inspiring guidance. He solved their difficulties in an emphatic manner. So, in essence, grihastha life is a benediction, provided we don't see it as source of enjoyment. We see it as opportunity to serve the Lord. That makes grihastha life very glorious. And Krishna loves such grihasthas who are dedicated in His service, surrendering everything. Manasa deho geho, yo kichu mor, arpulin tuapade nanda kishor. Then that grihastha is under complete protection of Krishna. And jahan Krishna tahan nahi mayar adhikar. That means when we as grihasthas are completely surrendered, manasa deho geho, to Krishna, then it becomes Krishna's obligation to protect that grihastha from getting afflicted by the three modes of material nature, or the ill effects of the wealth of the material world, or the surrounding of the material world. It's a foolproof 100% protection that Sri Krishna gives us when we offer ourselves to Him. So only what is required is making Krishna as the master of our ashram and making Krishna's service as the prime most goal in our life, and thus wife and children and every single thing is utilized in service to the Lord. And what is result? Happiness during the life and bliss at the end of life. Because in the end of life, such a grihastha will meet the Lord, and that is the ultimate goal and perfection of life. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if there is any comment, any question, you are welcome.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very beautiful class. Very practically you said how we can use our life in Krishna consciousness, even in Grihastha Ashram, being very important also to be in the service to devotees and Krishna. So thank you, Prabhuji, once again for a beautiful class. And I request all the devotees, if they have any questions, they can ask now related to the topic we discussed today.
Is Shyama Gauri Mataji in the class also?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Anybody has any comment or question? Jai. I wanted to know that am I speaking to North Carolina devotees?
Hare
Krishna. Yes. I'm not able to hear. Not audible, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Ha, now I can hear. Yes.
Dhanavad, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, the question was, in our Grihastha Ashram, when it comes to training our children,
yes,
helping them choose a profession which is very conducive for their Krishna consciousness, can you please throw some light in that area, Prabhuji?
You mean how to do that?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, so the whole process starts from the wedding itself. The wedding itself has to be first Krishna conscious. That means you choose a Krishna conscious partner, enter into Grihastha Ashram. Then before conceiving a baby, you do, as per Prabhupada's guidance, 50 rounds chanting, prepare your consciousness, be very nicely Krishna conscious to attract a very nice Krishna conscious soul as your child. Then you raise the child, you continue your pregnancy in Krishna consciousness, and you raise the child in Krishna consciousness. So all this becomes a very good substrate or good preparation. And then in such condition, when the child is raised, then it is very easy to choose a profession which is conducive to Krishna consciousness. If this is not done, then the child is anyway gets trained by material world or by surroundings to choose a profession just to make money, just for sense gratification. So if you have not done that, for example, and somehow we have become devotees only when our children were grown up, and that time we all became devotees. Doesn't matter. When we have very strong Krishna conscious atmosphere at home, then the child or the children can be molded into a new consciousness. It's possible. It all depends upon how you have raised your children and how much depth of relationships you have developed with your children. If you have a very good rapport with your children, then it becomes easy to understand or explain to them. Even it is late to become Krishna conscious, but you can explain in those friendly terms that what would help you to become a successful person in life. The goal of life is to not become a successful doctor or a successful engineer or a successful IT person or a successful astronaut. The goal of life is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. That we forget every time. We need to understand the goal of life is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. And then whether we are doctor, engineer, IIT, IT professional, it doesn't make any difference. So finally, if we are highly positioned, highly influential, highly authoritative, and we are frustrated in our life, then what is the use of our wealth and opulence? So that all this information has to be beautifully explained in a very beautiful relationship to our children. And then whatever is their aptitude, they should choose. But they should know that whatever money we earn out of a profession, unless that is used in service to the Lord and His devotees, you cannot be happy. And for telling our children, to get the potency to convince our children, we must practice that first. Our children are products of our consciousness. We should take full responsibility. Whatever consciousness attitude we harbor, that is reflected in our children. So we need to first correct the tree, then the fruit will be corrected. If the tree is not corrected, then you can't expect the fruit to be corrected. We as parents, as grihasthas, should take the full responsibility of the child's good or bad consciousness and then correct ourselves under the guidance of guru and devotees, and gradually the atmosphere at home will change and then their profession, their choice also will change. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very grateful for your answer. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
So, if there's no other question, then we can close. Is it all right?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Dandavat Pranam. Yes, Mataji.
Nice class, and thank you for your association. I also like the term Grihastha Sannyasi. Thank you for introducing that.
Yes.
Prabhuji, I have a question about donating. Like, as Grihasthas, we should donate for Krishna. Prabhupada has mentioned that we have to donate 50% of our income for Krishna, but I wanted to know how do we do that practically, because there are so many things,
the idea
which we cannot avoid, and we have to secure our kids' future also, we have to save for them. So how do we do that practically?
That 50% means whatever money you need to maintain your family in Krishna consciousness is also included in that 50%. It's not that you have to take out 50% just to donate. When you use your money to raise your children in Krishna consciousness, to clothe them, to feed them, to educate them, is also money utilization in Krishna consciousness. So you have to understand it that way. So 50% doesn't mean, if you can give 50% is good, but if you cannot give, then at least 10% we should give, and remaining money should be utilized in Krishna conscious household activities, like preaching, like holding satsang programs at home, cooking bhoga for the Lord, bringing flowers for the Lord. All this requires maintaining the house, paying the electricity bills of a Krishna conscious house. So all that is can be considered in 50%. There's no problem about that. And donation is important, because if you don't donate, then that money corrupts your consciousness. To cleanse our consciousness from corruption, from the anticipatory corruption, we must donate some part of our money to Krishna conscious activities, so that money doesn't corrupt us. Because whatever we do in the material world, the money that comes to us is somehow contaminated. Because the world is so contaminated, whatever we do, it is contaminating. But when you donate money to Krishna conscious purposes, that money does not affect our consciousness adversely. It saves our consciousness from getting corrupted. So, I always say that if you earn $100 per month, for example, you're so poor that $100 only month per month you earn. $10, take it out from that. Do not consider that $10 as yours and donate in Krishna conscious services. If you have $1,000 as in your income, $100 remove and serve. If you have $10,000 per month, $1,000 you remove and donate for Krishna conscious services. That's how the Christians are doing. Whatever happens, they earn X amount, 10% is not theirs. They straight give it to church. That is their commitment to God. We should do the same way for our Krishna, for our Krishna conscious services, for our preaching purposes. And when you give Krishna, you don't become deficient. As we remember the story of fruit vendor, which Krishna gave some grains, and the fruit vendor gave all the fruits to him. And then later on, the whole basket of that lady was filled with jewels. So Krishna, when you give Krishna, you are not the loser. You get in multiples of what you give. But we have to give, that's all. Let Krishna do his part. And we don't give because we expect like the fruit vendor, our basket will be full with jewels. That's not our goal. The fruit vendor did not give fruit with the expectation that her basket will be filled with jewels in third day. No, she just gave selflessly. And then Krishna heartfully filled her basket with so many jewels. So have faith that by giving Krishna, no one is a loser. And we must give. Only to become richer. Because once you give, Krishna gives you more to give. When the tree donates its fruit, then Krishna makes the tree more richer with more fruits. And the tree gives more fruits, then Krishna gives more fruits to the tree. So like that, when we give, Krishna gives us more to give. And we become richer and richer, not become poorer and poorer. That's what the material mind tells us. That when we give, I become poor by 10%. It is not so. It's a great spiritual mathematics, spiritual finance, spiritual accounting, accounting science that we have experienced in our life. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Beautiful answer. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Ji, Vishwara Prabhu, Ananta Koti Dangar Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Prabhuji is spiritual care department head and Prabhuji, I remember that was the bomb blasting time and we become depressed. So we are working under you. That time you take us in Shitam Vrindavan Dham. That how nicely you narrating that lila, we never forget. And pray for me, after 5 years my duty is over, I will come and join you under and serve special department. And every day you engage us. Dr. Tarkadis Prabhu, Dr. Matanand Prabhu, and Dr. Sita Priyamata, Dr. Kishori Mataji, all are coming and train us how to serve Vaishnava. Prabhuji, Ananta Koti Dandavat Pranam. And Bhaktivedanta Hospital is a temple, Prabhuji, for it's not a hospital. And you give your heart to that hospital. Even you came from abroad, left a very high salary job, chhodke aap wapas aaye, aur you serve all the Vaishnava so nicely.
Jai, Hari Bol. Thank you. So with these words we will end our session. I need to go and give another class.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hari Bol.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was very nice instructive class for all the Grihasthas, and very nicely you said, like, you know, we have to be, how to get the youth, the vairagya, and you have to make money and use it in Krishna's service. So we are all trying to do that, Prabhuji. We have devotees from all over the world on the call, Prabhuji. Not just North Carolina, but many of them are from North Carolina too.
Achha. Very good.
Some devotees, they join from India, some join from
Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much. So I'm grateful to you.
Do you have time, Prabhuji, for like 5-10 minutes to speak about Jayadev Goswami?
Oh yeah, that I forgot only in the wave of my lecture. Mataji, I think you give me another opportunity, because Jayadev Goswami is a one full lecture. I would like to give detailed information about Jayadev Goswami. It just can't be said in few words. So you call me again. I will especially speak a few lines for the shloka, and then I'll speak on Jayadev Goswami. Actually, I totally forgot in my in the way of my lecture.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, Mataji.
Prabhuji, one request, one class for Shridham Vrindavan Dham and Shishi Varshana Dham.
Yes. I'm ready. I'm ready to serve you.
Yes.
Hari Bol. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.
We are very grateful to you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Bhargavi Mataji, Arudhya.